I want to just share from my heart just a few moments here before I open up. First, let me just submit this to Jesus. I am so grateful for your infinite patience with us, Lord, and your magnificent love to our hearts and lives. I'm so appreciative, Lord, of how you work with us and stay with us. Even, Lord God, when I would have been totally exhausted with myself and how you haven't been. And you've always been there and you'll always be there. And as Scripture says, that you are good. You're always good. And I just would just like to say thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. And this understanding that you've been slowly unveiling and revealing to me, Lord, concerning yourself, concerning your kingdom, and the life of that kingdom, and the manifestation of that kingdom, and the inwardness of your life within us. And I would just ask that you help me communicate some of these things that you've been placing upon my heart in this direction. That we, Lord, that we would grasp this and realize that this is a place you want us to abide in. This is a place you want us to live from, Lord. That you're going to help me communicate these truths in a manner, Lord God, that each and every one of us, your children, can begin to comprehend and understand and take in, Lord God, and realize that it is your will for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, for most of you, you wouldn't think that Mother's Day would be hard for me, but it is. Something happened in our family with Christine and I 22 months ago in the passing of our son. And when Mother's Day comes around, for some reason, I get really concerned for Christine. And I probably don't need to, but I do. And there, something happened to me that night when we got that knock at the door, and I talked to the police officer on July 26, about 3:46 a.m. Something inside me broke. In a way, I've been broken over the years. I've had breaking experiences with the Lord, but something busted. Something just wasn't right on the inside of my life. And I told Christine over these past 22 months, I'm broken. I said, I don't know how this is going to be fixed. I don't know how God's going to place it back together. But in the midst of all that, that even though that there was this part of my soul that was completely wiped out and shattered, and at times there would be a dark place that I would find myself journeying into, that there was always this deep inward connectedness that I had with God. There was this understanding of a realization of Psalm 23, where it says, "Though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death," that, you know, it talks about the lowest place between a ravine where the shepherd has to lead his sheep through. That it's almost like you can't see one foot in front of the other, but there's an assurance there that there's going to be the leading guiding of your shepherd in the midst of complete darkness. And there's an understanding that he is always there with us. The verse says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And during this time of complete brokenness, or what I'd call my darkness times, There was a sensing within my spirit, a connectedness with God, and an understanding that he was there with me, and a truth would come up. Something about himself would come to my understanding, and then immediately the darkness was replaced with a ray of light, with a ray of truth, or a direction that I was supposed to go, and it happened every single time. But then something else happened this past week, which was really neat, was like that season is over. That season is over. As the Lord has been leading me into this kingdom of God teaching and having an understanding of the inwardness of God's life and the working of that life on the inside and an outward expression of it, there's something that has really changed with inside me. And I was just like really heard the Lord speak, "I have sustained you. I am your sustainer. And there are things that I need to show you that you need to progress in from this moment on." And I just said simply, "Yes, Lord." To that. And that was like yesterday and early this morning. And it was absolutely so beautiful, you know, hearing the Lord in such a clear manner, in such a clear way of his reassurance with inside my life. So whatever that deep brokenness was, there has been a healing or a restoration in that area. And I think that during these weeks of seclusion that people have been experiencing, that there has been a greater I wasn't seeking God, but a greater seeking God, a greater moving in, a desire to pursue the depths of this wonderful being that we call God and our Father, and the realities of our salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And what does that mean, and how does that function and work within my life? And as I have been progressing down this journey and these truths that are coming to me, and as I'm jotting them down, at times I've got three or four different notepads and all these things, and I was like, what of this, Lord God, is for me right now, and what of it do you want me to share with your people? And so hopefully today, as we begin looking at a subject this morning about a kingdom of God mindset, and the reason why I'm saying a mindset, there's a lot of people wanting to know or wanting to see the display of God's power. And I'm sure that all of us here would agree that we want to see more of a display of God's power while we're here on this planet. But it begins with an inward display to have an outward display. It begins with an inner working to have an outward working or an outward manifestation. And a lot of times we look for an outward manifestation while the inside is relatively unchanged. And God is saying, I got to do something within to move without. And there's three passages of Scripture that I'm just going to touch on right now. In the Psalms, and it gives us a kind of a taste, a picture here, if we could say, of the children of Israel, and it's going to compare that to Moses here in a moment. But there's three of them, and the first one I want to read to you is from Psalm 78, verse 40. It says, "How often they," speaking of the children of Israel, "provoked him in the wilderness." So in other words, they had seen that the mighty hand of God through Moses and what took place in delivering them from Egypt and even getting them to the Red Sea and seeing such a miraculous power of God in parting these waters and then going through on dry land to get them to the place where they're journeying in the wilderness to go to the mountain of God to get the instruction and the law of God and then eventually proceed from there to the bank of the Jordan River, which they were supposed to cross over and enter into the promised land. But it says that during these journeys, they forgot about what took place in Egypt. They forgot about their salvation. They forgot about the hand of God. They forgot about crossing over on dry water. Can you just imagine having experienced a million plus individuals that this Red Sea, that these huge, you could say it was like an aquarium on each side, and you're walking across, you're walking through, and you see this huge wall of water on either side, and yet when they get into the wilderness, the moment the stomach gets pinched and they're finding themselves a little bit hungry, they begin kvetching, they begin complaining. They were used to the outward display of what God was doing, but they had no inward walk with God. They had no transformative thinking life with God. And it says how often they provoked him in the wilderness. They began to rebel against him in the wilderness. And yes, again and again, they tempted God. And this is what they were guilty of. And limited, they in their own thinking, they set a limit. It said, and limited the Holy One of Israel. And it tells us in verse 42 what happened. They did not remember his power. They did not remember his hand. They did not remember what God had done weeks, months prior, the day that he redeemed them from the enemy. And so at times we have to, no matter what we may be facing in life, and the I don't understands of life or the uncertainties of life or even the dark times of life, we have to always go back to the basis of our salvation, the focal point of when we came to know Jesus Christ, the day in which you knew that your sins were forgiven, the day at which you knew you were cleansed, the very first time that God ever answered a prayer, or the time that you were baptized in the Holy Spirit and received that heavenly language. There are things that we are to go back and remember for a present day of difficulty, for a present day of I don't understand, for a present day of darkness, that God is wanting us to always go back and make sure that you are established in the truth that you know on Jesus Christ, and that is your always the basis from where you get a victory today. And I want to just go over right now to Psalm 95 and hear how it's said here, 95 verse 10. For 40 years I was, now this is God actually speaking. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, who go astray in their mind, who go astray in their emotions, who go astray with the feelings of the present circumstance becomes greater than who God is. And so when he's talking here about they go astray in their mind, they're letting the emotional things of life, the natural things of life, become more dominant than who God is or what God's word has to say. And that is going into something that I believe that the Lord was speaking to my heart about concerning the kingdom of God, that if there isn't an inward connection with God in our very soul, in our very psyche, in our very feelings, there can be an outward display of God's power all the time. But if there isn't that inward connection that we have with God, it's really not going to avail us too much because we're going to forget. The moment a hard time comes up, we're going to forget about what God has done because the inward connection with God hasn't been established. And he says, it's a people who go astray in their hearts and they do not know my ways. And as a result of it, it tells us, I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Now, this is also quoted in Hebrews chapter 4, where it speaks about in verses 1, 2, and 3, that the word that they heard, and the word in Hebrews chapter 4 is speaking when the 12 spies that Moses sent out, one spy from each tribe, when they went out into the promised land, they came back with a report. And most of us know that the 10 spies came back. 10 of those spies came back with an evil report. They said, yes, it is true. It is a land filled with milk and honey. It is just as God says it is. But we, in comparison to them, they look like giants and we look like grasshoppers. Their forces are so great and so mighty, there's no way we're going to penetrate their walls. And they have giants in the land. And they were making all these excuses as to why the promise of God couldn't come to pass. They were looking at the present circumstances or the feelings or the natural things that they were facing instead of the greatness of who God was because they did not know God's ways. They didn't know how God did things. They didn't know how God operated. They didn't know the truth of what God's word said in an inward personal way. And so when we read this next verse here in Psalm 103, and I love Psalm 103 because it begins out with, bless the Lord, O my soul. And it says it a couple times in here that we are to have a condition of worship. We're to have a condition of praise, that there should be something within our life that we want to acknowledge and say, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I'm just so grateful of you. But where it really comes to play is when I found myself over these past 22 months in a complete, as I said recently to one person, that when I was in a pool of water on my kitchen floor and I just couldn't see how this brokenness of my life was going to be reestablished and the grieving that I was experiencing at that present time and how the presence of God shows up. You see, there's a connection that every one of us need to have, that no matter how dark it is, he brings light into our darkness. That no matter how deep the situation we might find ourselves in, what Jesus Christ experienced on the cross was deeper than anything that we'll ever face on this planet. And that we have a connection. We have a Savior who's able to identify with us in every aspect of life. There isn't anything that your life will ever experience. As we, Christine and I, we just finished watching the movie of Corrie Ten Boom, The Hiding Place again. There isn't anything that we can't go through in this life that he is not deeper still. And these are truths that have to be so solidified on the inside of us, because this is knowing the ways of God. This is knowing the character of God. This is knowing that no matter what we may go through, that we have one who's journeyed this life and been through it and is going to be right there to sympathize with us, or he is able to identify with us. It says that he had to taste death for all of us, so that whatever might be killing us, whatever might be getting us down, when it says that he tasted death, just not physical death, but the sin that leads to death, that he had to so identify with the human experience that no matter what any of us would face in life and the pain and suffering that that would bring into our life, it says he's tasted of it. And that is just, it's so assuring that when nothing in life makes sense and you feel like you're so broken beyond repair, that there's a truth of himself, just a drawing near of himself, just a presence of himself, because I know what the Word of God says, that he will never leave me, that he's right there with me. There's the showing up of his presence because I know his ways, or I know how God operates, or I know that I have a connection with God in a real way, and that he comes. And he's always been faithful to come. And it's just absolutely beautiful how he comes. And looking at this subject of the kingdom of God, and understanding that I believe that the last days or the end times or the times in which I know we're in the last days because in Acts chapter 2, I think it's verse 14 and 15, it said that when the Holy Spirit was poured out, when Peter quotes from Joel, he actually says that this was the inauguration of the last days. And so as we progress down that timeline, that prophetic timeline, we are getting closer and closer to that second coming of Jesus. But having said that, God is going to raise up, I'm calling it the day or the time of the saints, the day or the time of the saints. And the reason why I'm using the word saints is because it's those who have made that holy connection with God. They have a connection with the Holy of Holies. They have a connection with God who is holy. And we have a references, especially in the book of Revelation, we have references there from Revelation chapter 4 on, where a lot of people say that in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 is the rapture of the church, because the church is no longer mentioned, but what is mentioned after Revelation 4, 1 is the word saints. Saints, 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 saints. Every one of those seven churches in the book of Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, all seven of them that are named, are no more. They don't exist anymore. They're all Islamic territories now. There isn't any of those churches in existence. You can go there and see their ruins. Something happened, and those churches were completely obliterated, but not the saints. And so a lot of times when people say, well, the rapture is going to take place, and because, you know, the word church isn't mentioned anymore after Revelation 4, verse 1. And I've always had a thinking, even before I've heard any pre-tribulation rapture positions, I've always had an understanding from my own study of the Word of God for many years, even before coming here, that I had an understanding that God would always be there with us, that no matter what we face, no matter what we went through, no matter how horrific the time may be, that he's always with his saints. He's always with those who have made that holy connection. He's with those who have that inward change on the inside, not just being born again, not just being a new creation, but have had a teaching that you know that no matter where you're at, God is there, and he's got you, that he's got you. And there's this understanding that I have on the inside of me that no matter what transpires or takes place on this planet, God's got me. Whether we're here through a portion of it, whether we're here through all of it, I have this understanding that he's got me. And because he's got me, Psalm 91 is such a reality to us. When the beginning of this COVID-19 started happening, there was all these places were teaching on Psalm 91. And most people refer to it, when I was first introduced to Psalm 91, I was told to call it the Christian Assurance Policy. The Christian Assurance Policy. That no matter what was going to transpire, or no matter what was going to take place, that there's always a place where we can abide under. There's always a hiding place in the Lord for us. That 1,000 could fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it will not come near us. But the reality is, or the power of Psalm 91, is when you get to the end of Psalm 91, the because you have set your love upon me. Because you have set your love upon me, therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high because he has known my name. See, there's something that God wants every one of his children to know. There's a spiritual connection on the inside of us that we need to know the ways of God. We need to know what God expects of us, how God operates, and how he expects our lives to function. And I know, since I know myself, I know human nature, and that every person is broke somewhere inside their life. There's something that is not functioning The Word of God wouldn't tell us to renew our minds if something didn't need to be renewed to, if something wasn't broke. There's something of Adam that still tries to speak within us. There's probably some dark places or things that we would never even like to allow to utter out of our mouth about maybe conditions on the inside. What will people think if I ever let them know this? But the neat part about that is that he's the Redeemer for every aspect of our life. Everything within inside of us that goes on that you would never let another human being know, or a thought or a thinking about anybody going on inside of us, there is an answer and a cure for in Jesus Christ. And that's the place that every single person needs to get at. There is a response, an answer, or a supply from heaven for every aspect of our life. And this has to become so living and so vital and so real on the inside of us, because the day of the saints, or the saints of the last day, God is raising up a people that he is going to need to make sure that they can make that connection with him, hear his voice, follow what he wants done to accomplish what he wants done. So we're going to have to be a people that really know him, and a people that are willing to be transformed no matter what he puts his finger on in our life. When it's time, when he put his finger on a certain area of my life over these past 2 days, it's time, Mark. I said, yes, Lord, it's time. And the moment there's an agreement, when you hear something from the Lord speak to your heart about, and there's agreement with God, something supernatural takes place on the inside. Whether it be a healing, whether it be a deliverance, whether it be an increase of faith, there's something, there's a greater connection that you begin to experience with God at that moment where you're yes, when his word becomes your yes, Lord. Something happens on the inside, and something happened on the inside of me, which I was so grateful for. And as we look at this, bless the Lord, O my soul, and it goes down that we're not to forget his benefits. And it just brings us back. This right here is just almost like prophetically speaking about the life that we're supposed to be experiencing in Jesus, about the forgiveness of sins, about the healing of anything that is out of order, that is not functioning right within sight of our lives. When it talks about him, he heals all of our diseases, anything of the spirit, soul, and body. There's a cure. There's an answer for there's a wisdom that he wants to bestow upon us in turning that around. And then it talks about redeeming our life from any destruction that the world, the flesh, the devil, anything at all that would try to come against us to ruin our life. It says that he will make sure that we will come to know a place where we can be redeemed, where we can be snatched out of that, where that thing that can change in our lives. And it goes on here to say about crowning us, surrounding us with his loving kindness and his tender mercies, and about supplying our mouth with good things, just not food. There's a truth that he instills on the inside of us to begin to release forth from us. There's a goodness of his word, a goodness of his truth at times that he wants us to proclaim, that he wants us to pray, that he wants us to speak over. So he'll even by the Holy Spirit, cause certain things to be brought to our remembrance and satisfy our mouth with the good things that he wants to release from us. The reason why I'm saying that, because when the children of Israel got into a difficult situation where their mouths should have been satisfied with the goodness of God or remembering what God had done, their mouth was filled with something other than being satisfied with what God had done. Their mouth was bickering. Their mouth was complaining. Their mouth was seeing the natural instead of the spiritual. Their mouth was seeing the physical conditions that they were facing instead of the greatness of God's promise and who God was. And he goes down here to let us know that even when we are failing in our strength, how many of you have ever failed in your strength, where you know at the end of the day you're just completely wore out, or your mind has been going here, there, and everywhere, and you're just absolutely wiped out? It's just amazing that in a moment of time, when I begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, pray in tongues, and where the Word of God says that my spirit is edified, I build myself up on my most holy faith, there's a refreshing that I can experience at any time. Even if I'm laying in bed or laying on the couch and I find myself in some kind of a pain, I can just redirect myself to the Lord and experience something from him, a refreshing from him, an assurance from him. Why? Why can we be like that? If you have not been able to experience something like that, if you yourself aren't tasting of these things, then you just know about what God can do, but you're not experiencing what he has done personally. There's a lot of things we're able to communicate. There's a lot of things that we're able to say. But are we the recipient of those things that we can communicate? There may be a scripture you can quote, but are you the recipient of the scripture you quote? And hopefully I'll touch on that in a moment here. But let me just drop down right here to verse, put my glasses back on here. It says in verse 6 and 7, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. That should just speak volumes that any time that you feel a weight, any time that you feel it too much, any time that you feel that the burden is like, when is this ever going to stop? I just don't know how much more I can handle or take. Anytime things like that come with inside of us, that is, we are experiencing the pressure of this world or the pressure of responsibilities or the pressure of life that everybody has to face. The Word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that there is no temptation, no test, no trial, anything that we find ourselves being proved, going through something, that there's nothing that we'll ever face in life that is not common to every other person. It says it is common to everybody else. But it says that we're to look to God who is faithful. We're to look to the faithfulness of God and understand, wait a second, I don't journey this alone. I don't experience this alone. One who's gone before me, who's done it, who's overcome it, and that overcoming life dwells within me. There's a supply that I have access to right now. If I was to do what Jesus said, to seek first from a kingdom resource, from a kingdom character, from a kingdom nature, if I would just begin to redirect this emotional, this feeling, this pressure that I find myself into, if I come before the throne of grace right now, it says that I will get help in my time of need. The last three verses of Hebrews 4. But if we don't know that as a personal truth, then we won't go there and experience that truth. I may be able to tell somebody where that is, but do I drink of that myself? Am I able in my time of need to experience the reality of that truth? And that's what the Apostle Paul was trying to say as I've been starting this Kingdom of God teachings. He said, the Kingdom of God is not word, but power. And last Wednesday and last Thursday, the Wednesday night class and the Thursday class, I started going back and going to the verses above that where he makes a comparison between teachers who just teach the word. And he says, you can have 10,000 instructors in Christ, but you don't have many fathers, or you don't have many people that are living what they're teaching. All these people want to teach. They want to get up and teach and say this and do this and do that. But he says, you don't have people that are internalizing the truths, that are personalizing the truths that they themselves are speaking. And that's why he said, imitate me. He said, I'm a spiritual parent. I am one who is taking what I teach and I live these things that I teach. And he goes, if you watch my life and the things that I face and the things that I go through, how I deal with them with the Lord and how I walk through them with the Lord and how I get the Lord's help on these very dark places that I face in life and the things that I go through, the Lord has always been there. He goes, I want you to be able to imitate me. See what my life walks through? And he's like, he's going to carry you through also. And that's why he said the word of God is just, the kingdom of God is just not word. It's just not a person getting up and teaching. It's about the character of that person, the nature of that person, how that person is taking the word of God and internalizing and living what they believe. Wouldn't you want to learn more from a person who's experiencing the word of God and then just someone who's getting up and repeating the word of God? And we have a lot of repeaters today. There's a lot of great information. There's a lot of great books. There's a lot of great ways that people are communicating the truth of God's word. And what I have been finding, it's amazing how different, at different times, you hear different phrases. And everybody, once a phrase starts being picked up, it's almost like you hear it from this group and that group and that group. One of the recent ones was a new version of yourself, a new version of yourself. And so many Bible teachers and people are saying, you know, that God wants to give you a new version of yourself. You can't make Adam new. There is no new version of Adam. You have to be born again and become a new creation of God. And once that is established within you, then you grow in that new creation. You don't become a new version of anything. You become recreated. But because the world started saying it, then the church grabbed hold of it. God wants a newer version of yourself, Randy. No, God wants us to be renewed and transformed in the new creation that we have become in Jesus Christ. But because it's a nice cliche, it's a nice catchphrase right now, and people are using it, then people go ahead and that teacher's saying it, and this teacher starts saying it, and before you know it, you hear it coming out of all these different teachers' mouths about a new version of yourself. Either a person's in Adam or they're in Christ. Either a person is from the old nature or they've got the new nature. And we're growing in the new nature. We're growing and becoming the children of God that He has meant us to be. Is there really then a new nature? Is there a new version of the new creation? No. Either you're a new creation or you're not. But because it sounds good, we gravitate toward it. Because it's a word that's being spoken in the world. It came from the world, and the church went ahead and says, well, you know, I can use that in my teaching. I don't go to the world for what I need to teach myself or the church of Jesus Christ. I go to the Word of God, and that we should be going to the Word of God. Even though it sounds good, is it the truth of what God's Word says? And so I always compare these things that I'm hearing to what the Word of God has to say. Either a person's in Adam or in Christ. The old or the new. That's it. There's no newer version of the new. We just grow up to be what Jesus Christ has secured for us to be. According to the Word of God. Now, he says here, now this is the part that I wanted you to hear before I move on. He made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. If you take your time and begin reading and studying Exodus from the time of the Exodus, from the time that they left Egypt until they got to before God, and I believe it's in Exodus 19 somewhere, where the Lord communicates a truth to them, I bore you on eagle's wings and I brought you to myself. In other words, my salvation, I did it completely. But he's saying, I want you to separate yourselves for 3 days because I'm going to come down and commune with you and you're going to commune with me. And so all the children of God were supposed to become there wasn't supposed to be one Levitical priesthood or just the Levite priesthood. He wanted all the children of Israel to be his priests. He wanted them all to be able to hear what he wanted to communicate with them. He wanted all of them to partake of what he had for their lives. And I'm just going to read you a portion of scripture here from Exodus 19 to give you just a basis of what I'm speaking about. So he brings them to himself, as I said, I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself at the end of verse 4 of Exodus 19. Verse 5 says, now therefore, if you indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all the people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and you shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God was wanting to come down and make them an entire kingdom of priests. That just as Moses was able to hear from God, God is like, I'm going to do this work inside of them. But what do we begin seeing here after this? After they separate themselves, it says that there was like thunder and lightning and the earth started to shake and the word of God, he's given forth his 10 commandments and the people are seeing these things and they're seeing the earthquakes and they're seeing the lightning. And Moses is like, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. God is just revealing himself. Draw near. No, no, no. You go up and hear from God and come down and speak to us. Right then and there, they made a choice. We don't want to be that close with God. You be the one who's close to God. You hear his ways. You hear what he wants, what the instruction that we're supposed to receive. And then we will follow it. So God, the only thing that they really knew about God is what they saw the display of his hand. They'd never got to the place of knowing his character. Most reference Bibles will tell us the New Testament reference for that is 1 Peter chapter 2, I think it's verse 8 or verse 9, where we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Let me make sure I find that. And so this is what God wanted to do with the children of Israel. They said, no, you go up. It says in verse 21 of Acts 20, so the people stood afar off and Moses drew near. The people stood afar off and Moses drew near. I believe that during these times that we've been experiencing over these past number of weeks, for those who have really wanted more of the Lord, that there's been a drawing near. There has been a moving in closer to the heart of God. There has been times where people have been separating themselves unto God. Something has changed with inside my life of my seeking of the Lord, the communication of the way that he's wanting me to communicate, the sensitivity that has transpired within my life. Something has fundamentally changed or grown deeper with inside my life than in the past months prior to this. In 1 Peter 2:9, in some of your Bibles will also have a cross-reference back to Exodus chapter 19, but it says here from the mouth of Peter, as he wrote this down, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What God desired for the children of Israel, and they rejected, so Moses became the spokesperson for God to the people because the people did not want to draw near to God. We are now in Christ Jesus, and we all have the responsibility of being able to come to a place where we can all draw near to God. We can all begin hearing from God. We can all be taught of God. Because how many of you know that when you face things in life, somebody may not be available on the phone. Somebody may not be able to speak to. And you're going to have to learn to hear from the Word of God you've been taught. You're going to have to learn to hear directly from the Lord in that circumstance or that situation. Or as I have just said earlier this morning, that when I found myself in a place of, I don't know, in a place of darkness, in a place of a pool of tears, and I just felt darkness was surrounding me, that there was a connection that I have on the inside. At that moment, you have to know that there's a connectedness that you have with God in your spirit, which is far superior than the feelings or emotions that you may be going through or the weight that you may find yourself under. And there's such a release of God's freedom at that moment and such a healing that he brings in. If you'll just make that temporary shift, Lord God, you said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You said that you're here right now, that somehow you identified with everything that I've gone through and everything that I'm experiencing. I need to taste some of that right now. Sometimes it's just a momentary thought. Sometimes that my thought doesn't even think like that. God comes to me by the Holy Spirit and brings those thoughts to my remembrance, even when I'm not thinking them. Did I not say that I would do this? Did I not say that I would bring my word to your ear? It's just like I just begin hearing the word of God that I've placed with inside my spirit, being brought to my remembrance by the Holy Spirit, and it causes my mind and my emotions and my feelings to shift spiritually and not look at the natural, not be under the pressure that I find myself in, but just be able to make a spiritual shift to that which is of God, to make a kingdom of this world, a feeling of this world shift to that which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And all it takes is just a moment. It's so neat that at times I wonder what in the world just happened here. The floodgates were open, the tears were coming down, and I mean, the moment that spiritual shift and getting your eyes on Jesus, looking unto Jesus, a phrase that I've been saying a lot lately, the moment that my heart looks unto Jesus, I was like, whoa. I was like, now that is pretty cool there, Lord. I was like, I was just wasted here a moment ago. I'm just totally broken, not understanding, in an emotional conniption here, and by the Holy Spirit just bringing something of a revelation of the closeness of Jesus, and everything changes. You see, we have to have this inward walk, knowing that this is the way that God does things. If we will just be open and aware of his ever-presentness. And just, even if we just have to allow the Holy Spirit at that time, or listen during the time when everything else is spinning in a different direction, that God will get through with that still small voice. He will get through. He's always there. He is always faithful, who will not allow us to be tempted, tried, or proven beyond what we are able to bear or handle or go through. That's that last part of that 1 Corinthians 10:13. Because the faithfulness, God is always faithful. And because I know that God is always faithful, because I know that God is good, because I know that my Father loves me, because there are certain truths that I have deep within inside my spirit, and these things are solidified within me, that the Holy Spirit is just able to gently nudge me and to say this, oh, yes, Lord, thank you, Lord. if we don't experience, if believers don't experience the complete renovation of their soul or the renewing of their minds, as the Word of God refers to it as, then people are still going to just be looking to God doing something instead of God just being within their life. That at times, where is God moving? Well, hopefully the movement is taking place within you. The drawing near is taking place within you. The promise of God's word is that if you draw near to him, he's going to what? Draw near to you. And at times, I don't, see if I can say it this way. Most of us realize that we are spirit, soul, and body. I have come to an understanding that even in my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, and my feelings, that aspect of me, that I may not be correct there at a moment in my life. There may be something that is just not functioning right in the way that I'm feeling or I'm seeing or the way that I'm communicating about a circumstance or situation. But there's a connectedness that I have with God from my spirit to God's spirit. And that connectedness begins breaking through to that soul and to bring it into line, to bring it to a place of, you know, you can get a hold of that right now. You need to stop going there. Like, okay, Father's here. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There is that drawing near of my spirit with God that breaks through the soul at that time. How many of you have been upset? How many of you gotten angry? How many of you lose it? Any of that ever happened to anybody? How many of you go on a trip in your mind like, man, I don't even think I'm saved right now, this trip I'm going on? But that connection that your spirit has with God can break through to that and say, enough of that. And it dries up. If you will allow that voice of the Holy Spirit intertwined with your human spirit, if you'll give it a precedence, even if it's just a movement of that thought to begin shutting down that other one. But if you don't know that can be done, you'll just let that rabbit trail go on and on and on and on. You know, it could be, I don't know. Some people I talked to said, you know, it's for hours. One person told me days. I'm on this trail for days. And it doesn't ever think, I can never get off of it. See, they're looking for God to act. They're looking that I'm going to come up and someone's going to, you know, lay hands on me. I'm going to be delivered. They're wanting an action. They're wanting, pray for me. Nothing wrong with getting prayer, but they don't know the ways or how God operates from within their lives, to grab hold of that situation when you're facing it and to be able to pull you from that to where he is. The kingdom of God connection within. The kingdom of God connection within. That there is a dominant place of God's rule and God's reign within inside of our lives that we have to begin acknowledging. We have to acknowledge that he reigns from his throne. And right here, he's enthroned in my life too. He's enthroned in your life. At times, we have to go to that throne. We have to acknowledge that throne. We have to acknowledge that I have a seat with him in heavenly places. I have a seat with him right next to his throne. And there's anything that I need can be communicated at that moment to my life. Yes, there's nothing wrong with getting prayer. There's nothing wrong with coming up and have hands laid on you for things like that. The Word of God even encourages it. But what happens when nobody else is around? What happens when your cell phone battery's dead or nobody's responding? Or you may be thinking, oh yeah, they see it's me, so they're not going to pick up. God always picks up. God's always there. But if we don't know that, then we will rely on a teacher instead of God who is a parent and parenting us from the within. And that's why Paul said, imitate me. I know what it's like to walk with God. I know what it's like to be parented by God. I know what it's like to have revelation from God. I know what it's like to be in a dark place and God show up in my dark place and bring the light of the truth of his gospel in on me. I know what that's like. You can become like that also. You can become a person who just doesn't know the word, but you know the power of that word. You know the demonstration of that truth within your life, that there's a connection being made with you and God at the moment you need it. What good then is all that we're learning if we can't make that connection in the time that we need to make that connection? What good is it for me to get up here and share with you this morning here, and then 2 hours from now, not being able to make a connection of something that I'm facing with what I've just been able to talk to you about? And that's why Paul says you can have all these instructors in Christ, but Most of them aren't living it, but you have very few fathers. You have very few that are they're taking that, embodying it, living the truth, and sharing it from a place of reality, from a place of connection. And God is trying to get us to a place of connection within our lives, because I know, as I've been reading through the Word of God and researching and digging out this subject on the kingdom of God, I believe it's in the very last couple verses of Hebrews chapter 12, it refers to a kingdom that cannot be shaken. A kingdom that cannot be shaken. Or an unshakable kingdom. Well, we're also told by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 that now thanks be to God, I think it's verse 57, thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the next verse, it says that we are to be what? Beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, unshakable kingdom and an unshakable people. An unshakable kingdom and an unshakable people. He says if we can grasp the truth of what Jesus Christ has done on our behalf, then there is a victory that we can have in Jesus Christ and be an unmovable people. As it goes on here to say, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not, in other words, we're just not here. This is just not a waste of time coming together. It's not a waste of time for us to read our Bibles. It's not a waste of time for us to pray. It's not a wasted time for us to believe God. Everything that we do as a spiritual exercise or connecting ourselves with the Word of God, God is going to bring into a reality, into an experienced reality within our life. And because of this unshakable kingdom and an unshakable people, and you might say, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not immovable always, but you can be. Because the Word of God says you can be. I don't always endure, but the Word of God says we can endure. I'm not always consistent, but the Word of God says I can become consistent. And see, because the Word of God says these things, you have to agree with it by faith. The Word of God says that He calls those things that do not exist as though they do exist. He wants us to be able to take a truth or a promise about Himself, or like this one right here. Beloved brethren, are you able to say that about yourself? I'm steadfast. I'm immovable. I'm always abounding in the work of the Lord. And I have actually heard people say, well, I don't say that about myself because that's a lie. That's a lie. I don't do that. The person that God has created us to be, I have been born of God. I have the capacity within me to be steadfast. I have the capacity to be immovable, always choosing what is pleasing in God's sight. I have the capacity to whatever I do that I can do it pleasing in God's sight. That is the capacity of the new creation life. Do I always choose it? No. But do I have the capacity? Yes, because I'm born of God. Remember what you've heard me say recently. The last verse of Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The wages or the payment of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Remember, I said you've got to get your eyes just off of thinking I'm going to live with God forever. Eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That God has given us a gift, and that gift is Zoe, and that gift is the life as He is and the life that He possesses now I live in, I have been given it, it now lives within me. So within me is the very life as God is, within me is the very life as God has. And because that life is eternal, so I am eternal with God forever also. But at times we just look at it as I'm just going to live forever and don't take the meat of that truth and say, wait a second, I've got the nature of God, I've got the character of God, I've got the ability of God, the very life that God Himself is, and how He does things, and how He sees things, and how He views things, that life now lives within me. I can get God's mind on anything. I can get God's view on anything. I can look at this circumstance and situation and begin seeing it the way that God sees it. And see, we need to have a revelation of the Zoe life of God. And that life dwells within inside of us. Instead of just relegating, oh, I'm just going to live forever to be with Him. God wants to bring it into a substance reality within us. He wants us to be able to comprehend it and live from that truth. So that when a circumstance or situation arises within inside of you, you'll be able to look at it and say, wait a second. Am I looking at it from a kingdom-sided, from a connected with God as my father sighted, or am I looking at it from a natural sightedness? Am I looking at it from the way that the circumstances are trying to speak it to me right now? How am I living right now? Natural, carnal, or spiritual? And if we would just begin to make that choice, all it has to be is just a momentary choice that we begin to make, then things will begin to shift. We'll shift from our feeling of what's going on in the natural or that pressure to that which Jesus Christ took that pressure, and there's a relief for that thing that I'm facing in Jesus Christ. But that has to be deep-seated belief. It has to be a belief. And if we aren't there, God wants to help us get there. And I believe that for many of us in Christianity, our prayer needs to get me there, because I'm not there. Some of the places I'm tasting of it, but I'm not there. As long as you're able to acknowledge it, say it, and have that heart, Lord God, I place my faith, I place my trust in the reality of what your scripture says, and it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy within your life. You'll always be then guided for it to be fulfilled within your life. Now, that's on the faith good side. The faith negative side is, how many of you know that there's a negative faith? A negative faith is the moment we moan and groan and complain, and this, it doesn't look like this is ever going to change. I'm always going to find myself doing this. That is a faith negative, and it will be a self-fulfilling prophecy in your life because you believe it, and therefore you will fulfill it. So it's unbelief toward God because it's not doing what God's word said, but it's a belief in something that's opposed to God or opposite what God says. And because you believe in it, you will fulfill that. And a person's life will always begin seeing these horrible, detrimental things. They'll never be able to overcome. They'll never be able to get ahead on anything because of a negative belief about God and negative belief about his word, instead of taking hold of what his word says, causing that to arise within inside you and you gravitating toward that truth of what God's word says, then it will become a self-fulfilling prophecy to God's glory within your life. So most of us don't ever look at faith toward God or a faith that is going in the opposite way of God, because we're all operating in faith, but is it toward God or is it not toward God? I mean, how many beliefs do we have on the inside of us that are not beliefs toward God, but it's a belief actually against God? How many of us have allowed certain things to come out of our mouth? I don't know if I'll ever be healed from this. That will be sought to be fulfilled. It will go on, and because there is a force of faith behind it, even though it's negative, it will seek to fulfill itself. And that's why those things that God wants to completely cancel on the inside of us, and that's why we have to have a complete renovation of how we think, process, and make choices and make decisions in life according to what the Word of God has to say. And this is probably the aspect of which I'm going to probably have to just stop here this morning. There was so much more that I wanted to say on this subject, but let me just close with this passage here. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. Colossians 3, 1 to 4. I love the entire chapter of Colossians. Especially verses 1 to 17. There is just so much liberty and so much power here. If we would just take our time and just meditate, I've given people a spiritual challenge over the past few weeks about Colossians 3, 1 to 17. And because if we'll apply verses 1 to 4, and then verses 5 to 9 can become an experienced reality of the things that we're supposed to mortify and put off, and so that verses 10 through 16 can be the things that we're supposed to live in or put on. But if we don't apply verses 1 to 4, we'll never mortify, we'll never put off, nor will we ever put on or live Colossians 3:17, that whatever we do in word or in deed, that we can do it in the name, the character, and the representation of Jesus Christ, which always gives thanks to the Father. See, a lot of times we'll read verse 17, but without the understanding of the previous 16 verses and the application of those previous 16 verses, you'll never experience verse 17, and it can actually frustrate a person. How many times have you heard, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him? And like, yeah, right. You know, everything in word or deed coming out of my mouth is definitely not in the name of Jesus. It's not representing his character. Matter of fact, he might get pretty upset about some of the things that are coming out of my mouth, and I'm definitely not giving thanks to God in it, right? And so we just quiet about it. We just silence ourselves because we don't want to look like we're not doing it. But if we have an understanding and the application of the verses prior to that, then we will automatically begin to live verse 17. And I'll just read you these verses here. If you were raised with Christ, number one, are you saved? If you're raised with Christ, seek, set your heart upon, move to fulfill those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. There is a spiritual perception and truth that we have to have on the inside of us, that this wonderful Son of God who took on human flesh and defeated sin in the flesh. It says he condemned sin in the flesh, the very last part of Romans 8:3. Jesus condemned sin while in his body. That life now lives in us. And it says we're to look now, not just at the one who walked this earth and overcame everything that he faced here, but the one who went to the cross, died on our behalf, resurrected, and is now seated in full authority at the right hand of God. That's the one we're supposed to be looking at. We're supposed to be looking at the superiority of Jesus and that superior life that it dwells within us. As the result of seeing him for who he is and beginning to acknowledge him for who he is, you're able to set or fix your mind or your affections. This word here, to set, means to fix or to establish or to be concreted in. You know, it's just to be so firmly established in that your mind, your will, your feelings, I believe one translation says, set your affections on things above. When it talks about your affections, how many of you know that your feelings and your emotions go up and down? But it says that they're able to be fixed. They're able to... You're able to, there's a control that you're able to get to them and cause them to be established. Set your affections on things above, not on things what? Of the earth or what you're presently going through. About the one who has the answer, who has the solution. The one who is residing on the inside of you. The one who knows all things and has experienced all things. The one who's got the answer, the wisdom, the healing for what you're facing or what your family's facing or what somebody else is facing, that there is an answer from heaven that can be made here on earth. There's a kingdom that it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But if we're only focused on the earth, we'll never go to the heavenly part to bring down on earth. And then it goes on here to say in verse 3, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. How many of us still live from the old life instead of a life that is covered? When it talks about here being hidden, that there's a covering in Christ, there's a protection in Jesus Christ, there's a supply in Jesus Christ, there's a shelter in Jesus Christ, there's a pavilion in Jesus Christ, there's a safety in Jesus Christ, there's a peace in Jesus Christ, there's a love and an answer in Jesus Christ, there's a compassion in Jesus Christ, there's a grace in Jesus Christ. All the attributes of what we know that's available in heaven that we're not experiencing here on earth, it says that there's a place that we're hidden in Jesus Christ and they're all available to us. And if we don't understand that, or if we don't believe it, we'll never access it. And it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we shall also appear with him in glory. There's a life that we can live here now, and we know that there's a life that we're going to experience after we leave here. And as the result of knowing these truths, of an access to him now, and what we're going to experience with him forever, it says that as this becomes more and more of a living reality, you'll be able to mortify these things. As it goes on, it talks about the things that we're to mortify or to declare that they're dead and inoperative in my life. And it talks about the things that we're supposed to put off, that I'm not supposed to wear it anymore. I'm not supposed to let it hang on me. I'm not supposed to let it proceed forth from me, because there's a killing of one thing, there's a putting off of something else, and there's a clothing that I'm supposed to be clothed in, and it tells us what to put on. And when we follow what the Word of God says, only after we understand our great high priest, only when we understand our Savior, only when we get a picture of the reality of who Jesus is on our behalf, and begin accessing him where he is for our lives today, will you have the power and the ability to kill what needs to be killed and say, you no longer operate in my life, to put off what we need to put off and to clothe ourselves, to put on love, to put on compassion, to put on tender bowels of mercy, that when we're irked, or when it says, if anybody has a grudge against any, when somebody's just rubbed you the wrong way and you feel you've got an axe to grind with them, you know, Lord God, that's what the old man would do. Just sit there and fester on that and point on that, and I'm this way because, and they did this and they said that. But I'm to forgive as Christ has forgiven me. I'm to release. I'm to let go. I'm to walk in the liberty and freedom you have secured for me. No longer to be under that anymore, Lord God. Because it says that we're to compare ourselves to the forgiveness we've received in Christ and how they're basically saying, how dare you hold any unforgiveness when he has extended his forgiveness to us. It's only when we get our eyes focused on him that this is even possible to do and live. It's the only way. So if we don't stay on verses 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, and 3 basically, we'll never begin to mortify anything. We won't be able to put off anything, nor will we be able to put on anything. But if we get our proper view of who our Lord is in fullness and in totality and begin recognizing what he has done and who he is, and he has made us to be that way, the same character and the same nature Jesus has I have living within me, then I will be able to mortify that which I need to mortify, put off that which I need to put off, and clothe myself in that full new creation that I am in Jesus Christ, so that I can come to a verse 17, that whatever I do in word, because what comes out of the words of my mouth comes out of an inward life that I have with God, and all the actions of my life will be now a representation in the nature and character of Jesus, and that will give thanks to the Father. And so verse 17 must be preceded by verses 1 through 4 first. And just it will just take time just for you just to have that solidified within you and to take time to delve into Scripture. What does that mean? How does that look? And then you're just going to find yourself being free of all these different things. But it comes from setting your mind. It comes from a right type of thinking, a right type of internal thinking about God, and how you view God, and how you view Jesus. And sometimes our beliefs or our views about God are inconsistent, and he's wanting to make them consistent. So, Father God, I just want to thank you right now for some of these truths that you've been speaking to my heart. And even, Lord God, I've been wondering, Lord, for 22 months, how you were going to restore this devastation of this total brokenness, Lord. It is no longer, Lord God, a sensing within me that I'm broke. As I voiced it out to my wife recently, I'm broke and I don't know how it's going to be fixed. That just by just a few moments with you, Jesus, just a few moments of seclusion, just a few moments of taking my rightful place, because of your precious blood that you've given me an access into what is referred to as the Holy of Holies. You've given me an access, Lord God, that there is a complete, total provision for the entire person, that no matter the millions of pieces, as I once told a person, a million pieces, that you make something beautiful out of those million pieces. I just knew you were going to, Lord God, and you're still in that process. But I thank you, Lord, for the restoration. I thank you, Lord, for the reassembling back according to you, Lord. I thank you, Father, for the healing and the continued healing, Lord, that you're doing. There's so much hope. There's so much faith that I've grown in you about that I had not known previously. And I'm just so grateful of your infinite patience with all of us, Lord, that we may look, and as David said, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? And sometimes we may even ask ourselves these same type of things, or why, Lord? And then David actually responded back to himself, Saul, why are you disquieted within me? And sometimes we just have to ask ourselves, wait, what's going on with you? Settle down right now. Hope or put your faith, put your trust in God, who's your shelter, who's the lover of your soul, who knows you're of most infinite value and has accepted you and welcomed you. Father, bring the reality of yourself into so many believers' lives right now. There are people, Lord God, who don't know you on this level or on this basis. Sometimes some of the things that I communicate and say, it just seems so far away from them, like I'm speaking to somebody on a distant planet. But you have these realities for every one of us to grasp. You have these realities, as you tell us in Matthew chapter 11, come to me. All of you who are just burdened down, you're laden with all kinds of stuff. And you're more focused on the weight of all kinds of things and not realizing that I've already taken them. I bore the brunt and weight and the punishment and the grief and the turmoil and the heartache and the suffering of all them I bore on myself. And there's something else I want you to be yoked together with me in. There's something I want to communicate to you. There's something I'm wanting to place with inside your life to relieve you of these things that are so getting you down. So you can find rest, peace, tranquility for your soul. And I thank you, Father, for the rest that you've given me. You just spoke some simple words to me, Lord, and I said yes to. And immediately, a rest came in. I found a Sabbath with you in that area. I found a peace with you in that area. And I pray, Father, that those listening, if they find themselves in a place and they're in an upheaval about things or they're just unsure about this or that, that they can just say, you know, Lord, your word says come to you. I don't really know what that looks like, but I'm just going to acknowledge you right now. I know that I'm not alone in this journey. Your word tells me that there's a presence of yourself. And so I'm just going to acknowledge the presence of yourself, and that's me coming to you right now, Lord. And you know what I've been facing, and you know what I've been going through. And your word promises that you would take it as an exchange for the weight, an exchange for the heaviness, an exchange for the I don't understand, an exchange for the pain, that you'd give me a peace, you'd give me a Sabbath rest from that which I'm facing right now. I just know that you do it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I just know that you do it. And that sometimes it's as simple as childlike faith to acknowledge the word of God, to speak that out of our mouths and expect you, Father, to answer, and you do. And I thank you for your faithfulness to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus.